Welcome back to Southeastern Ohio's Outdoor Show. I'm Chuck Berry. My co-host is Don Big Daddy Pegath.
That I am.
We're going to go to the phone lines here and talk to our buddy Pat up in Wisconsin. Pat, are you there? I think we're finding him. All righty. We're going to try to get Pat on the line with us, and we'll... You there, Pat?
Hello.
Pat, are you there? All righty. We're going to work on that and try and talk to Pat a little bit. Don, I know we have a mixed bag of stuff, of information, and it's a little bit of stuff that's going on out there in the woods that are not always the funnest things to talk about.
No. Up in the Columbus area, Franklin County Sheriff's Office says a man went out to set up a deer stand and never returned. He was reported missing. Officials say the man's body was found early the next morning. He hasn't been identified, but he was in his 50s, and the sheriff's office is now did not release the cause or manner of death. So,
gotcha. All right, we're going to see if we can't grab Pat. Are you there?
I'm here.
All right.
Hey, folks, with us on the phone, as you know, this is Veterans Week, so we have a veteran with us. Pat Schulke lives up in, you're in what, Brownsville, Wisconsin, is that correct?
That is correct.
That is correct. Folks, I want to describe Pat to you. It was a romantic meeting. We met at a wedding. Yeah.
Not what you think, people.
Not what you think. He was at my brother's wedding, and, you know, you try and scan the room and look for like-minded folks so you don't have to have those awkward conversations. Well, Pat was the guy I ended up getting to talk to because he's into the outdoors, does a lot of fishing. In fact, we'll talk about that a little bit. But he's also, I don't say backyard because it's kind of cold up in Wisconsin. He's more of a workshop inventor, has played with some things that he hopes to get out into the market someday, and definitely some things to help him better his fishing chances, so to speak.
So, yeah, and who better to figure that out than the person that does it all the time?
That's right. Hey, Pat, welcome to the show, bud. And what's been happening this summer? I told folks earlier in the show that you're a tournament guy, and some great things are happening for you. You're starting to see some sponsorship and take home a check every once in a while, and that's kind of fun. So let's talk about your great summer of fishing.
Yeah, well, it was challenging. It was a good summer. I got a new fishing partner, and the last 2 years we've done really well. It seemed to have clicked.
Gotcha.
But we've placed in the top 25 in four of the last five tournaments, or five of the last six tournaments, or something like that. So we're on a good roll. We're starting to make some money and turn some heads, but it's not really about the money. You know, it's just about going out and having fun
and getting to do what you love.
The money's the icing on the cake.
The money's just cool because it's not always coming out of your pocket now.
So. Yeah, it's just the money makes it more possible to do the next thing.
Right.
You know, if you're not coming out behind, you know, you have money to get into the next tournament. Or buy more rods or whatever it is, you know, different gear. But yeah, it's fun. I enjoy the environment a lot. The people you meet, every year is a different thing too, because the trends, the way the fish bite, where they're at, the weather you fish in, you know, you learn something every year. It's pretty cool.
You know, Pat, there's a lot more preparation in doing what you're doing now with the tournaments that you're going to and the events you're going to. You just don't get off of work on Friday and head out. There's preparation all week now, isn't there?
Oh, yeah, most definitely. There's hours. I sit and talk to my tournament partner and some of my other buddies. We all kind of network together, and we discuss all sorts of, you know, strategies, different things that are working. You spend a lot of countless hours looking for lures, changing things up, working on your boat. You know, there's a lot of stuff behind the scenes, but you do it because it's something you enjoy doing. So
right. So when the sponsors come knocking and stuff, it's kind of cool, but it also puts you on that kind of hey, again, it just is not coming out of my pocket all the time. And some of the folks that work with you, it's kind of cool when they come and approach you. What's that been like for you? Because that's not something that happens to everybody.
No, that's a lot of fun. So we're starting to get to the fun part of the tournaments. We're starting to get to where people are noticing us and talking about that. For me, I enjoy it because there's two aspects of it. One, well, three, I guess, because it makes it more possible for the next thing. But another one is you get to help expose them. You know, say it's a small person. Like I had somebody from Michigan. He's a product developer, and he sent me some of his new product that he just got out on the market, and it isn't out here yet in Wisconsin. So he asked me to try it out and see if I can help spread it. So that, to me, that's kind of neat.
Right.
But then on the other hand, you know, it gives you opportunity. Like for me, I can say I've done it. You know, like,
right.
It's a pride thing because so many people said, oh, you can't do this, you can't do that, you won't make it, you know, so it's a pride thing that it's kind of like the exclamation point.
Gotcha. Pat, I want to mention, too, you work for, during the daytime, you work for Pierce Fire Truck Company. A lot of folks are familiar with them. One of their big distributors is a big employer here in this area down in McConnellsville, Finley Fire Equipment. But they have, you went to them with an ideal, and they have really jumped on board and really surprised you, you know, how much you've got to work with some of the folks that really can make a financial impact in getting this kind of program off the ground. And it's already off the ground, but you guys are going to see to it that it goes a little further, and that's taking some of the Wounded Warriors fishing. Let's talk about that a little bit.
Yeah, well, I've been participating in Wounded Warrior fishing events for the last few years, and it's basically us tournament guys, we get together, we donate our time, we take our boats, we donate our time, usually we get our partner to come along, and it's almost like a guided trip. We get veterans to sign up, the local communities where we have the event will donate all sorts of different things, whether it be things for door prizes, the food, so we can give the veterans breakfast and a lunch. And us fishermen, we usually fillet all the fish up for the veterans too. And then at the end of the day, after everything's said and done, then we just kind of hang back and mingle for a while. But I had asked Pierce to help get on board with that. And we're not there yet, but their response was making a veteran support group throughout the company of Pierce, and we didn't have that. So we're actually going to have our first veterans meeting, and it's going to be a big veterans breakfast on Friday, and I've gotten to help put all that together, so I'm pretty excited about that.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Do want to tell folks, too, Pat served with my brother, and he was a handful to deal with, wasn't he, Pat?
Yeah, he was. Great guy, though.
Yeah.
Great guy.
Gotcha. Well, I do want to thank you for your service. Now, Pat, what's your favorite fishing to eat, and what's your favorite fishing to go do?
I would probably still say walleye. I really enjoy the technique behind it. It's kind of like a giant chess match. If I go to a restaurant, usually I'll get perch.
Gotcha.
but I love, I eat walleye too, but I love catching them.
Gotcha. Now when I'm at Lake Erie, I always, we just kind of drift, and I do the, I always just go with what I call the weapon, and that's, you know, night crawlers. What's your secret for walleye?
Well,
won't be a secret if you tell us.
Well, I know there's different times and places that some of that changes, but give us a good tip or two.
Well, for me, I haven't been able to figure out the jig bite. I'm more of a troller, so
gotcha.
You can do either. That's really the big thing. It's just learning different ways to make them fire. You can't just sit and run boards pretty much. You can't, you know, you can't just put the boards in and run straight.
Right.
If they're not biting, you need to change up your speeds. You need to change your depths. You maybe need to move into a different water column. So it takes a lot of work to find them. But once you're onto something, usually the rest of the season mimics whatever you found.
Gotcha. So it's kind of learn from your mistakes and just not repeat them again.
Yeah, most definitely. I mean, some years it's a harness bite, some years it's a crank bite, and it really depends. I mean, in our tournaments this year, our second tournament, it was cranks all day. That's all we could catch them on. Everybody else was using harnesses, and that wasn't working for us. Now, in the following tournament, it was exact opposite. We couldn't catch a fish on a crank. It was harnesses all day, and we were in 5-6 foot waves.
Wow.
That's not ideal for crawler harnesses, but we had to run them.
It's not ideal for seasickness either. I'm just thinking about that, and it's making me ill.
Don's got a canoe that's been out once in 13 years. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I've got a canoe that's not been in the water for 20 years.
20 years. But he gets licensed every year. So
every 3 years,
every
I do.
Every 3 years. But anyways, so you like fishing for it all, and that's a lot of fun. I know you do some stuff with it seems to me that often when I check you out on Facebook and stuff, you take some folks fishing that otherwise couldn't, and that's awesome. I mean, that's what it's about. It really, really changes your thoughts about where you are in life and how you can help others. That seems to be more successful than just always about me. So, and you're that guy. You're the one that serves and gives, and I appreciate that about you when we talk. Pat, I know that you have done some ice fishing, and you're without giving any big secrets out, you've kind of played with some inventions there, and kind of tell us what you would hope that some of these inventions do, or maybe describe a little bit of, without giving away all your secrets, maybe tell them a little bit about what you've thought about over the years and that stuff.
Yeah, well, I think no matter what market you look at, inventions come best from those working with the stuff, like ice fishermen. When you learn a product that maybe should be invented that doesn't exist, you know, you identify a problem, and if you can identify a solution, you're on to something. And that's kind of what I did. I was working on a way to get the transducer of a Vexlar out of the hole, or an electronic device, period, out of the hole when you have a fish on. And there's now something on the market that does that, but I know I could make it a lot better. I had quite a few different variations of it. So I'm still going to continue. I'm not going to let those hopes die. I'm going to still continue to try to work with that, see if I can contact that company, maybe go that route. But you never quit looking for that next thing. But it isn't about, for me, it's not about the money. It's just about ways to make fishing better and impact the sport for the next generation.
That's awesome.
To me, that's a cooler thing than the money.
All right, Pat, it's time for the fish stories. Let's hear about some of the big ones you've seen on the tournament trail this year, and what kind of fish are they pulling out of some of these lakes?
I didn't see any huge ones this year. Last year, a good friend of mine, Wes Munson, pulled out a 31 1/4 inch out of Lake Winnebago, which is pretty unheard of. I think it only weighed like 10 maybe 10 pounds or something like that. So it was still kind of skinny, but,
that's impressive though.
A good friend of mine, Harry Reinhold, pulled out a 8-pounder in Otter Street this year. And we missed a big one that would have put us a lot higher in the money. We were pretty much right behind him, and, we missed it right at the side of the boat. So,
wow.
It was probably pretty close to comparison, but without putting it in the boat, it's only a tail. So
that's right. It's a wave goodbye.
It's the one that got away.
Yep. Right. I mean, you could make up anything at that point, but, yeah, this year was, it was a challenge. It was really hard to find. The day before Walleye Weekend this year, all the guys that we network with, me and one other friend, were the only two to put a legal walleye in the boat.
Wow.
All of Friday. And wow. That's just pre-fishing, you know, so those don't count. But nobody could find legal fish because you have to have 15-inch or bigger.
Wow.
So it was a challenge. Everybody was scrambling. And that's where you just got to go on your pre-fishing. And when you're fishing areas that you know, like I fish Winnebago a lot, but you can go on what you knew in previous years. But if you're fishing something new, it's going to be a whole lot harder, you know, like maybe a new tournament in a different water that you haven't been to before. So
I think
you just got to rely on your knowledge.
What are some of the lakes that you do? I know you and I talked about the UP, but what are some of the lakes you look forward to going to? And you know, let listeners know kind of you get around a little bit. You're not just always at one place.
Yeah, I want to get up to Bay of the Knock up in the UP. That's one of my big places I want to go to. The Bay of Green Bay is on Lake Michigan. That's also pretty good. That's only a couple hours from me. And then I want to head to Detroit River and get out to Erie. I have yet to get to Erie. And I know you guys got some good fishing there. So,
yeah, we have fun there, that's for sure.
But I fished with a guy in a tournament that he used the hand line on the Detroit River, and that's something I really want to go do sometime. Sounds like a lot of fun.
Gotcha. Well, I'll tell you what, we also need to figure out Okeechobee once in your life, brother, because that's bass fishing like you've not ever seen before, that's for sure. It's something else. I know you do some hunting and fishing and stuff like that. And, it's kind of fun to get to do some stuff that, you like in the outdoors and spend a lot of time doing it. And, it's been fun, hasn't it, buddy?
Oh, it's been a blast, you know, doing this stuff. It's definitely a lot of effort. It's a lot of dedication, but it's a great time. If you didn't enjoy it, you wouldn't do it. So.
Now, have you found that girl that wants to go fishing with you yet, or do we need to put that out on the air for you here tonight?
No, I don't. I don't. I still have a vacant spot in my boat for that.
Or okay.
Whichever.
You're fishing a lot when you don't have dates, brother. That's all I'm saying. And you get to spend quite a few days on the boat, and I'm definitely jealous of that. And looking forward for us getting up there sometime. I know Tony and I. We've said we've got to get up there, but we definitely got to make plans for that. Well, what do you see coming up next year in tournaments? Got some big plans, and obviously more sponsors are going to be jumping your way. It's going to be exciting next year, isn't it, bud?
Yeah, I'm definitely looking forward to it. Like I said, we learned some new stuff this year, and the last 2 years we've learned things that I've been fishing my whole life, and I learned some stuff in the last 2 years I didn't ever think of. So I'm really looking forward to putting it together. As far as new tournaments, I don't know if there's anything on the agenda. I definitely am hoping the weather cooperates a little better than this year, because this was probably the most brutal stretch of tournaments that probably any of the anglers here have had to deal with before.
Well, when you talk about 5-foot waves, that's not fun.
No.
We do three tournaments in a row. The first one is a one-dayer, and then the next two are two-day tournaments each weekend. So it's every single weekend in June for the first three. Well, the first one, we had a lightning storm, lightning and rain, and then the second tournament, the first day, we had 6-foot waves. We were in 35-mile-an-hour winds. We broke one of our motors, so we ended up in our backup boat on day two. And then on the next, the last tournament, it was the same scenario, only the last day we had 6-foot waves and 35-mile-an-hour winds.
Wow.
It was just crazy. It was crazy fishing. But, it doesn't matter what boat you have, you know, Ranger, Triton, Skeeter, any of those, you get your butt kicked out there.
Yeah.
And you're talking about $90,000 boats.
Right. Crazy. Well, Pat, I sure appreciate you. I'm glad you got to get a chance to talk to us tonight. I want to thank you for your service to our country, and I'm sure we'll talk soon, and we'll have to get you down this way and do some pheasant hunting, and we'll get up there and do some fishing with you, and have some fun, buddy. So again, I thank you for being on the show with us tonight.
Yeah, thank you. It was a good time.
Good deal. Hey, we're going to talk to you soon, and we're going to take a break and talk to our sponsors here. You're listening to Southeastern Ohio's Outdoor Show here on Highway 103.